The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome back, Buffalo Bills fans. It's Matt Warren, editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com. The Buffalo Bills were on a bye this week, but they actually moved up in the standings with the loss by the Kansas City Chiefs. Bills fans are clearly excited, and we have a ton of questions to get to as a result. As always, you can leave your questions for next week's episode by calling in 716-508-0405. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A on Twitter, and that's with the word and spelled out in the middle of it. You can email us, BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. You can leave questions in the comments section at BuffaloRumblings.com in our show notes, Instagram, Facebook messages, all of that works. You can find us on Buffalo Rumblings. Make sure to leave us a review if you get a chance. It helps folks find the podcast. And that's all the Buffalo Rumblings podcasts that are out there. Just search for that on your favorite podcast app or Apple, in the Apple Podcast Store. Let's get to your questions before we get much further into this bye week and we lose our minds. This week's question I'm getting a lot is, can the Bills sustain their hot start into the rest of the season? And I think the answer is yes. I think the Bills' offense is much more likely to progress than the defense is to regress. You can see a little bit of what's going on with the offense and Josh Allen kind of coming into his own a little bit against the Tennessee Titans before the bye. I think it's more likely that he plays better instead of worse. He's been very inconsistent, but he would have to be consistently bad to play worse than he has so far this year. And I think it's just more likely that the Bills offense can put it together. They've got Devin Singletary coming back after the bye week. Tyler Kroft should be close to returning. They've just got pieces in place to move forward. The offensive line had another week to gel, and maybe they made some changes along the offensive line. We'll have to see as practice ramps up this week. But there's much more hope on the offense than there is gloom and doom on the defensive side of the ball. And that defense is going to keep them in every game, you know, for the rest of the season. Looking at the schedule, looking at what they have on offense and defense, it's really difficult to not be optimistic about this team's chances to go to the playoffs in 2019. Maybe they won't be able to pass the Patriots in the division, but they will still be the 5 seed, probably, in the wild card race going into the playoffs. So that's the question I'm getting a lot this week. Can the Bills sustain this hot start into the second half of the season? And I think the answer is yes. To the phone lines we go at 716-508-0405.
Hey, what's going on, Matt? Eric, Connecticut. Love the show. With the bye week going on, not sure what we're going to talk about, but here's a thought. Offensive snaps have been an increasingly issue with some of these guys. For instance, Patrick DeMarco. Although I know he's a return specialist, Andre Roberts, couldn't we use other guys that play a lot more of the time and that could contribute more. And before you say special teams and before you say Roberts has a return on kickoffs, he doesn't. Kickoffs are rarely returned. Would love to hear your thoughts. Thanks, Matt. Happy bye week.
Let's start with Roberts. He's played just 22 snaps on offense so far this year. He's clearly not a big part of their offensive plans. I know he was hurt for a little while in there too, which is one of the reasons he isn't getting any playing time. But you've seen them now promote Duke Williams into the active roster and actually trade away Zay Jones. So they obviously have different plans at the wide receiver position. He's on this team for his special teams abilities. If you look at his special team snaps, he's a little bit further up there. He's played 24% of the team's special team snaps. And again, he had a couple games where he was out with an injury. So he's clearly a guy that's in their plans as a role player, not as somebody who's going to be an important member of their offense. Looking at DeMarco, he figured early into their game plan in the early games this season, but has fallen off since then. He's played 22% of the team's offensive snaps in 2019 and 42% of the special team snaps. So he's clearly another guy that's important on special teams. He's a guy that they can plug in. They know exactly what he's going to do all the time. They know he's going to show up to work and grind it out, get everything done, do exactly what he's supposed to be doing and be a leader in the locker room. So I don't have a problem with either of them on the team. You know, every team has players that are like that. They have a very specific role on the roster, and they serve that role very, very effectively. I think if they were asking them to do more on offense, that would be a problem, because I don't think that they're necessarily capable of that. But in their roles that they've been assigned right now, I think they're perfectly fine going forward. Like, it's not like you're taking Patrick DeMarco. It's not like you're taking someone off the field so you can put Patrick DeMarco on the field. You know, he's been used very sparingly on offense. And the same with Andre Roberts. I mean, he brings an element of speed to the roster, but it's not like they've been using him a ton on offense to the detriment of other players. So I'm perfectly fine with their roles on the team being mostly special teams with, you know, a sprinkling of offense in there just to maybe provide a spark or to fill that role that, say, Patrick DeMarco did in the first couple weeks of the season. Thanks for your question at 716-508-0405. To Twitter we go. Ryan Van Eck asks us, do you think having a bye this early will affect the stamina of the defense? I understand the question. Having the bye this early means that there's not going to be time later to rest up, recuperate, and kind of get your head back in the game. The Bills are pretty healthy on the defensive side of the ball. They lost Harrison Phillips, and they have depth across the board. So I'm not really worried about their stamina going forward. Now, obviously, if they lose a couple key players, especially one of those two safeties in the back for an extent, not going to be something that's very good for the defense. But I think going forward, they've got the horses in the barn. They can really take care of this going forward. Ideally, they'll be able to get up on a couple of these opponents over the next few weeks and be able to rest some of their starters and rotate in some of their depth players to keep them fresh going into the tougher part of the season starting around Thanksgiving time. So I'm not worried about the stamina of the defense right now. Yeah, they're going to need a hold up, and yeah, the offense is going to need to do something to help out that defense and their stamina, but it's not something I'm thinking about right now with the bye week being so early. Thanks for your question, Rick, on Twitter at RumblingsQ&A. Next up, we've got a clump of questions from our voicemail line at 716-508-0405, Twitter at RumblingsQ&A, and even an email.
Hey, what's going on? This is BJ from Fayetteville, North Carolina. It ain't a question, but maybe you can have some insight or, you know, in the Bills locker room or whatnot. But I want to see Bills make a trade for AJ Green. You know what I'm saying? Before the Patriots do. Because if the Patriots get him, we're screwed. We need to be competitive and get A.J. Green if we want to contend. That's all I'm saying. Thank you.
That question really dovetails with one from Twitter, at BillsBoys12, asks us, will the Bills make any trades over the next couple weeks? And we've got an email here from Brian, who sent it to us at BuffaloRumblings@SBNation.com. If you were the Bills GM and Terry Pegula tasked you with making a big trade to help the team over the bye week, who do you trade for and why? With the changes the Bills have made at the wide receiver position over the last couple weeks, and just looking around at, say, Stephon Diggs or A.J. Green, I'm not necessarily going to be looking at a wide receiver to open up this offense. I really like what John Brown's been able to do as the quote-unquote number one receiver. I would actually look at the right tackle position. A guy like Trent Williams would be a really big upgrade for them at right tackle. He'd be able to come in and solidify that position, allow Ty Nsekhe to be that swing tackle we've kind of wanted him to be from the beginning, and then Cody Ford could push over to, say, right guard, flipping John Feliciano over to left guard. But if they were going to do that, I would have probably preferred they do that at the beginning of the bye week to get everybody acclimated to their new positions. Now, they very well may have already moved those interior linemen around, and we just don't know it yet because we haven't seen the practice reports yet, but I would really be interested to see what Trent Williams would bring to this offensive line to really solidify it. He's getting up there. He's got, 3 years left probably. He's, in his 30s already, and the cost would be high, but it would be kind of nice to see a guy that can come in and lock it down at the right tackle position. Thanks for your question. And thanks to all the questions that came in about trades on the bye week. Let's fit in one more question before the break. Irish Hunter 16 on Twitter asks us, would Brian Daboll be under consideration for a head coaching job in 2020? I think there's a possibility that that does happen. He's got experience in college and at the professional level, so I could see him going and taking, a nice college head coaching job or something like that this offseason, especially if the Bills offense turns it around going down the stretch. I wouldn't want to see that. I like what Brian Daboll brings to the table, but it's one of the reasons why so many teams are promoting offensive coordinators to being their head coach, and because you can't lose that guy to a different position if he's your head coach. Obviously, the Bills aren't going to do that with Sean McDermott in town, but I do think it's a real possibility that he could go take a college head coaching job this offseason. Maybe he wants to stay in his hometown and stick it around. Thanks for your question on Twitter at RumlinksQ&A. We'll be right back after this quick break. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prop G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Back to the phone line at 716-508-0405.
Anthony Christopher, Buffalo, New York. My question is, why do the Bills keep on trying to get a first down with a quarterback sneak when they're 1 or 2 yards away from making the first down, and they have a running back like Frank Gore who could get it much easier than trying to do a sneak? Not to mention, the danger element of getting hurt by doing a quarterback sneak. Thank you.
Thanks for your question, and I'm sure a lot of people have been asking it recently since the Bills weren't able to convert one of their QB sneaks in their last game. According to the Wall Street Journal, QB sneaks run on third and fourth down with 1 yard to gain have a success rate of 85%, meaning 85% of the time they end up with the first down on a QB sneak in that situation. So I think that's a pretty good success rate, and that's probably why the Bills are doing it. Now, the one that they weren't able to convert against the Tennessee Titans was a longer than third or fourth and one. I think it was probably 2 full yards, and it looked closer than it was when the ball was put down. I like Frank Gore, but I also know that if you're trying to gain 1 yard, just putting Josh Allen behind the offensive line, using the element of surprise with the snap and kind of just ducking your head down and getting in there is really successful. Tom Brady has been able to do it, you know, year after year after year because he's able to find that crease behind his offensive line and just kind of sneak in there. The other option would, of course, be to just spread out the field and give the run pass option. Do it like a quick pass. If that's not there, you can pick it up with your legs. It's a really successful play, which is why they've been doing it. Thanks for your question. At our voicemail line, 716-508-0405. Back to Twitter at Rumlings Q&A. Clint McKenna asks us, can they come out and put bad teams away and not allow teams to stay in the game like the Giants were? We need to stop being conservative when we are up and go for the jugular. Yeah, if you've been listening to our podcast, that's one of the things I've been saying for a long time, especially the third quarter. The Bills need to be able to put a team away, and this week seems to be the perfect week to do that against the Miami Dolphins, a team that is very bad. The Bills should be able to completely disrupt their offense, and the Buffalo offense really needs to kind of get into a groove against this Miami Dolphins defense. So if they can't do it this week, it's going to be hard to see them doing it at all this season. This is the week they need to learn how to do it. This is the week they need to practice it, and they need to not give up. I don't think Sean McDermott's going to let them get lackadaisical and overlook this team, especially being a division opponent. So, I mean, if it's going to happen, it better happen this week. Thanks for your question at Rumlings Q&A on Twitter. Jay on Twitter asks us, of the teams with 2 wins or less in the AFC, who do you think is the biggest threat to us making the playoffs? I don't think it's the Tennessee Titans. I don't think it's the Pittsburgh Steelers without Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think it's the Denver Broncos. The Jacksonville Jaguars are an intriguing team, but I don't think they're nearly consistent enough. That leaves the Browns and the Chargers as the 2-win teams that really could make a dent in the Bills' playoff run. And honestly, I don't think either of them are set up particularly well to make a run. The Chargers are really inconsistent, but they have the horses and they've been there before, so I'm going to go with them over the Browns. The Browns are kind of in disarray. They've got a first-time head coach. They've got, you know, Baker Mayfield on his second offensive coordinator in 2 years, just trying to put all those pieces together. They've got talent, but I just don't see it kind of coming together because of all the inconsistency. So I'll say that the Chargers are more likely to make a run than the Browns, but either one of them could do it, really. Thanks for your question at Rumlings Q&A. An interesting question from Jerome. Buffalo has a 6-game stretch against teams with losing records. Do you believe they will be leading the division going into week 13 at Dallas on Thanksgiving? Oh man, that would be a scene. For argument's sake, let's say that the Bills go 6-0 over the next 6 games and get to 10-1. That would be a pretty lofty expectation. But take a look at the New England Patriots. They would have to lose two games for Buffalo to be in the lead of the AFC East, at least by themselves. So what's New England's schedule over the next 6 weeks? It's not out of the realm of possibility, with the Patriots playing at the Jets, home against Cleveland, at Baltimore before their bye week in Week 10. Then they play at the Eagles, home against the Cowboys. You can definitely see a scenario where the Bills are leading the division going into Thanksgiving. You can see the Patriots stumbling in two of those games against whether it's the quality NFC opponents, the Baltimore Ravens, who could present some problems, even this week against the Jets or against the Browns. There's definitely possibilities for the Patriots to stumble down the stretch. And then that weekend, Thanksgiving weekend, they're playing the Houston Texans, followed by the Chiefs on December 8th. So yeah, they have a tough schedule coming down the stretch. That week 16 game against the Bills could definitely be for the division crown. It's going to be a fun little ride if the Bills can string together several wins over the course of the next 6 weeks against some questionable opponents. Thanks for your question at Rumlings Q&A. In a related question, Rich Perks on Twitter asks us, what record do the Bills have to finish with in order to win the division? I'm thinking 12-4. New England has a lot of hard games coming up. Yeah, I think 12-4 is probably the right number. If one of those 12 wins is over the Patriots in Week 16, they need to get that tiebreaker. Without that, the Bills would probably have to go like 13-3 or just be absolutely ridiculously lucky coming down the stretch in order to beat the Patriots for the AFC East crown. They need to win that Week 16 game and get to 12 wins. It's going to be very, very important. They're not going to be able to win the division at 11-5. It's just not a possibility, even with a victory in Week 16. Thanks for your question at Rumlings Q&A. Our last question of the week comes again from Twitter. Jonathan Hakes asks us, what, in your opinion, is the reason for Buffalo not taking many shots down the field? Is it lack of protection, lack of separation, or something? Dable is just not trying. The Bills have had their big plays dialed up. You can see it here and there where there have been guys running free down the field. They've been able to take those shots. They just haven't connected on any of them, so it's hard to remember them. They've probably been taking fewer of them, and maybe that's because Robert Foster hasn't been on the field as much. But they've been sustaining drives. I think almost all of their touchdown drives have been 75-yard plus drives. There was a weird stat about that during the last game. But they've been able to take judicious shots down the field. You saw the pass to Zay Jones that was intercepted. I'm seeing more intermediate passes, the 8-yard, 10-yard, 15-yard passes than I am seeing, the long balls. And I think it is a function of Josh Allen not being very accurate on those and defenses kind of adjusting to those. They don't want him to beat them for the big chunk plays. So they're doing a little bit more of the passing shell. And so I think there's a lot of reasons for it. They've been calling them. They just haven't really been there. So I expect to see more of those coming down the pike here as the Bills get a little bit more settled in on their offense. John Brown certainly has the capability of doing that, but if they're bracketing him, it leaves the underneath stuff wide open. And, isn't that what we've been saying to Josh Allen? Take what the defense gives you. So if they're, putting a safety over the top on John Brown, that leaves Cole Beasley or Dawson Knox or Tyler Kroft or somebody open underneath. I'd love to see him continue taking those shots underneath and moving the ball down the field and scoring consistent points. That's what we really need, is more points on the board. Thanks for your question. That's going to do it for this week's jam-packed episode of Buffalo Rumblings Q&A. Send in all your questions for next week's episode as the Bills hopefully have beaten the Miami Dolphins and we look toward the rest of our schedule as the Bills head, you know, hopefully towards a playoff berth here in 2019. You can send in your questions at 716-508-0405. That's our voicemail line. You can tweet us at RumblingsQ&A like so many people did today. You can send us emails, buffalorumblings@sbnation.com, Facebook messages, Instagram messages. Get a hold of us. Thanks again for all your questions, and go Bills.